I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. If you've been following along, we're just preaching through Matthew's gospel. We're looking at Jesus. The gospels are stories about Jesus. They're biographies in part. They're really a special kind of story because they're written for the purpose of pointing people to know Jesus. That's their goal. They were written, they're actual factual stories. They really happened. Jesus was a real person who lived, died, and rose again. His death and resurrection are the cornerstone of the faith. If he didn't rise, we're wasting our time. I heard people say to me, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. That's about the stupidest statement a person could make. Ask those people who thought they were taking Tylenol and took cyanide instead. They were sincere, they're dead. And so sincerity doesn't really matter. Faith in what you believe matters everything. Jesus wasn't impressed very often. In fact, John tells us that even though everybody believed in him, when he did his first miracle, he didn't believe back into them. He didn't commit himself to them because he knew what was in man and had no need to believe them. He was grieved at the unbelief of the Jews when they willed not to turn to him. He marveled as well at the unbelief of his hometown. He went to Nazareth where he was, and instead of being able to do miracles, he couldn't because they didn't believe. And their unbelief, Mark tells us, caused him to be surprised. He rejoiced over the faith of the centurion whose faith was so great that he said, you don't need to come to my house. Just say the word. Just say a word and my servant will be healed because I too am a man under authority, and I say this and it happens, and you're that kind of man. You're under authority, so you have it. But in this story, we meet Jesus compelled to compliment the faith of a woman who's not even a Jew because her faith is so great. She had faith that gets the attention of Jesus. And we might even entitle this message, Why This Woman Will Go to Heaven and You Might Not. Because if you think about it, she has this incredible faith that risked everything for Jesus. And so we're going to read the passage, Matthew 15, beginning in verse 21. We'll read through verse 28. You're welcome to stand if you would like for the reading of God's Word. We don't have a rules, but you're welcome to. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You may be seated. I want to just pull four points out of the message, Why This Woman Will Go to Heaven and You Might Not. And I want you to think about four truths about great faith, because what kind of faith is Jesus looking for? And I want to mention first, great faith results from desperation. Verse 21, we meet a woman who has a daughter who's demon-possessed. She has an oppressed daughter. Her life is, can you imagine growing up with a child who is going through the tragedy of demon possession? And people say, is that real? Yes, it's real. I've lived where I've seen it, manifested and ugly. And it's real. And in Jesus' day, it wasn't even masked. Today, we mask it with all kinds of drugs and other things. But in Jesus' day, it was the real deal. And it happened in the lives of people. And there were people that were out and out struggling with this all the time. And this woman was a Canaanite woman. She was not an Israelite. She didn't have any claim on Jesus. But she came to Jesus because she had heard about an omnipotent Lord. Omnipotent means all power. Jesus has all power. Nothing had stopped him yet. The only thing that he hadn't been able to do is when in his hometown, when people wouldn't bring him their sick, he couldn't heal them. Out of unbelief, when they wouldn't bring them to him, he couldn't heal them. But everybody that came to him, he healed completely. Death was no match for him. When he ran across death, it became life because he would speak to the dead and they would live. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. So she comes in her desperation. And can I suggest to you that this woman will go to heaven and you might not, because a lot of us aren't really desperate for God. We've got money. We've got good jobs. We've got a secure future. We've got the Social Security net. We don't really need the Lord for anything. Let me tell you something. If you don't need him, you won't have him. God, in his goodness, you ought to pray this. Lord, in your goodness, will you manufacture circumstances so severe that I have to need you? Say, I don't want to pray that. If that's what it'd take. Do you really want to know God? See, this woman was desperate. And desperation is really the starting point of faith. Because if you don't need the Lord, you'll never know him. He's not interested. He doesn't reveal himself to the casual person. Just desperate. Second, great faith requires true motivation. As we open this story, we read, and I'm going to walk through it from several perspectives, but really, if you look at Jesus, Jesus acts strangely, doesn't he? He doesn't answer the woman. He insults the woman. He says all kinds of terrible things to her, and you think, what is going on? Well, we're going to look at it from his perspective first, and let me just say, Jesus doesn't respond to formulas. You know what she starts off with? Same thing that the blind beggar Bartimaeus starts off with. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. It was a formula. It was a formula that she had learned, and that formula was, you could go to him as the Son of David, that means he's Israel's Messiah, and call on him. But here's the thing. She wasn't a Jewish. Israel's Messiah meant nothing to her. She used a formula. And can I just tell you this? If you think you're saved because you prayed a formula, that's not your salvation. Formulas don't save people. Jesus isn't looking for a formula. Do you know what happens when Jesus hears her use this formula? What does he do? And not only that, it's not just that he doesn't do anything. The text tells us emphatically, he answered her not a word. He didn't respond. He didn't even look at her. Now, I want you to see this because I really want you to get this. He is almost offensive in the way he treats this lady. But I want to tell you this, folks. We live in a society that's lived on high-level offense. Everybody's a snowflake waiting for their feelings to be hurt. God of heaven doesn't care about your feelings. He owes you nothing. He owes me nothing. Nothing. He doesn't have to give me the next breath. If I fall over dead in the next breath, I've had better than I deserved. If he killed me and sent me to hell, it would be exactly what I deserve. Don't kid yourself. He owes us nothing. Jesus didn't answer her because he doesn't owe her anything. You think, well, he ought to be nice. Nowhere in the Bible is niceness a Christ-like quality. Thou shalt be nice. That's not the 11th or 12th or 15th commandment. Jesus says things like, brood of vipers. In fact, the previous story we preached last week, the Pharisees got offended at what he said, and they were walking around with their feelings hurt. And the disciples came back and said, don't you know you hurt the Pharisees' feelings? And Jesus said, every plant my Father didn't plant will be plucked up. Let them alone. They're blind guides of the blind. He said, it's worse than they think, fellas. Not only did I hurt their feelings, they're going to go to hell. I want you to hear this, because what I've seen is we've seen a Christianity that's been dissolved into a little nicianity. Just be nice. Just go around and never hurt anybody's feelings, never say anything that's hard. Just always be sweet. And so when I, as your pastor, come to you and say, this is wrong, you go, oh, pastor, you hurt my feelings. I'm like, well, you know what? One day you stand before God. You'll be glad I hurt your feelings today if you get right with God. He won't care about your hurt feelings either. I'm just telling you, he's a lot rougher than I'm scared. I'm just letting you know. Jesus doesn't respond to formulas. He doesn't even respond to manipulation. He says, Lord, my daughter's severely demon-depressed. And in fact, she just keeps crying after him. She keeps crying, and Jesus doesn't respond to her because, listen, he's not going to be manipulated. You know what Saul says? There's an Old Testament king named Saul, and Saul says, doesn't any of you feel sorry for me? You know what? God's not going to, you want to go to God and say, God, you ought to feel sorry for me and help me. He doesn't feel sorry for you. He's the omnipotent Lord of the universe. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen to you in 20 years. He knows that this present crisis through which you're going may be the best thing that ever happened to you. But you can't see it right now. And so when you come with your crisis and say, oh, please have pity on me, God, and do this for pity's sake, we go around with our feelings hurt because God won't answer our pity. He doesn't care. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been there. I try to, when God doesn't answer my prayers or things are going wrong, I try to get along with God and say, I can't believe you're doing this to me. He says, I don't care what you think. I don't owe you an explanation, son. You're my child. I love you too much to give you that. Had a car wreck. I don't like to admit it. I'm embarrassed. I was looking for a stupid restaurant. I looked left, looked back, and the light had changed, and the cars had let off their brake lights. I thought they were going. They didn't. Front guy stopped. He was on his phone. And nobody else went either, so I hit the back guy. Fortunately, I didn't hit him very hard, just hard enough. Just as I was hitting him, though, I said, Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? And he said, I don't care. So, and I said, come on, Lord, you know you do. I'm your servant. And he said, no, you'll get over this. So don't worry about it. And so God doesn't respond to our manipulation. God's not interested in showing you pity. He knows that the crisis through which he's bringing you is the best thing that can happen to you if it drives you to him. Third, he doesn't respond to entitlement. You know, there are people who think God owes me something. Just get rid of that notion. You may think the world owes you something, but God owes you nothing. We have all sinned against God. The wages of sin is death. And the idea of sin is not just, oh, I did a bad thing. Oh, I stumped my little spiritual toe. No, the idea of sin is, listen to me, beloved. Here's what sin is. Sin is you shaking your fist in the face of God and saying, I will do it my way. How dare you tell me what to do? That's what sin is. Sin is not some sweet accident that I had. Sin is rebellion against the holy God. Sin is perverting everything that is good. Sin is missing the mark intentionally. Instead of running the race that he puts before me, I run the race I wish to run. That's what it means. And you see, when we realize that, then we'll get out of the idea that we're entitled from Jesus for anything. I'm a rebel. What does a king owe a rebel? Death. That's it. Just death. And we realize what sin really is. We think of sin, well, nobody's perfect, preacher. If I hear that one more time, I promise you, I just want to stick my finger down my throat and throw up on your shoes. Because it just makes me so mad to hear people say that. What they're really saying is I can excuse all kinds of rebellion against God because nobody's perfect. You know what? Nobody's going to heaven either. One imperfection keeps you out of heaven. One. James says, if you keep the whole law, but you break it, at one point, you've broken the whole law. The law is like a mirror. The mirror's not a little bit broken, it's just broken. The law is like pregnant. She's not a little bit pregnant, she's just pregnant. And when you've broken God's law, you pay God's penalty. And it's serious. Great faith requires true motivation. Third thing, great faith risks with determination. What do I mean by this? Well, I want us to see what she does do, because I love this lady. I want you to see she refuses to be silent. You know what? She just keeps on crying. In verse 22, these words, verse 22 and verse 23, it says, she cries out after us. She was crying and saying him. Both of those mean that it was she kept on doing it. She wouldn't be stopped. She wasn't going to be silent. She couldn't be silent. She was coming to Jesus, and she wasn't going to be silent. Lord, help me. The disciples finally said, just help her so she'll shut up. She's bothering us. Make her leave us alone. Notice she refuses to be shunned. He answered her not a word. Jesus didn't say anything to her. And you know what? She didn't go, well, I'm leaving. Listen to me. When you're finally desperate, if God doesn't answer, you'll just get on your face and pray more. When you're finally desperate, you'll keep praying until you get the answer. You won't care if you're shunned. You'll think, God, you're up to something and I can't see it yet. You won't quit. I know this. When you're really serious about getting along with God and hearing God's answer and seeing God work, you'll get on your face and pray until you walk away in your heart knowing God's answering this prayer. And if you don't, you don't serious about it. She wouldn't be shunned. How many of you have prayed and you felt like God didn't hear it? Just be honest. Every one of us have. You know what? This lady, that's what it felt like to this lady. Can you imagine going up to, imagine if Jesus were standing in the room and you went up and you said, Lord, I've got a problem, help me. And he didn't even look at you. That's what happens when you pray your first prayer and you don't see an answer right away. He's saying, are you serious? She gets shunned. That's all you can call it. He doesn't even talk to her. Notice, she refuses to be sidetracked. Send her away. She said, you're not sending me away. I ain't leaving. I'm not leaving, Jesus. I'm here to meet Jesus. I only came for one goal. I got a sick daughter, and he's the one that's only one that's able to help her. Nobody else can help her. None of my Canaanite friends, none of my Canaanite deities, none of them can help her. But I know he can help her, and I'm not leaving until I get help. She refused to be sidetracked. You know, most of us get sidetracked pretty easily with God. We start off trying, and then the first bad thing that happens, we get sidetracked. What's it going to take to keep you on track? Desperation. She refused to be denied. Jesus said, I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshiped, saying, Lord, help me. Listen, she worships. She gets on her face. She gets on her knee. The word worship, proskuneo, means to bow the knee. She gets on her knee before Jesus. She's just there on her knees. He can't go anywhere. She's in front of him on her knees. He'd have to walk over her now. And she just says, Lord, help me. Help me. She's desperate. And then she refuses to be offended or insulted. You know, it's really odd that this passage is right after the one where the Pharisees get offended. And Jesus said, you know what? It's not good to take the children's food and cast it to the little dogs. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but there's no worse insult in the Old Testament than to be called a dog. The Bible says you can't bring the price of a dog or the price of a harlot into the temple of the Lord. To be called a dog is the most insulting thing you can say to somebody. And Jesus calls her a little dog. He didn't even use the full word. He used the diminutive. What would you do if God said that to you? What would you do if you got in his presence and he said, well, I can't do that because you don't deserve it. You're just a dog. I wouldn't put up with that. I'll tell you what I'd do. Right away, I'd just leave. And that's why most people will never get to heaven. Because you know why? Because the psalmist says in Psalm 22, I am a worm. No man. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, the chief sinner. You see, until you get to the place where you realize everything, anything he can say about you is not even half the truth about you. You're worse than a dog. You're a worm. Paul says, Psalmist says, I'm a worm and no man. Until you realize you are a nobody who deserves nothing. This woman says, you know what? You can call me all you want. You can call me all the names you want. But you know what? Even little dogs get to eat crumbs. I'm not giving up. You go ahead. Say it. Say the insulting thing. I'll take your insults, Jesus, as long as you hear my prayer. Most of us won't come to Jesus because, you know what? We're too good. We're too high and mighty. We're too righteous and holy. How dare he say that about me? How dare he call me a dog? I'm not a dog. I'm a good person. I'm morally better than most of those people at that church. I never even killed anybody. Of course I'm better than all those people. But listen, when you come to Jesus and you get serious about coming to Jesus, you throw away all your formulas, you quit trying to manipulate him, you just come at his feet and worship, and you say, you can say whatever you want, it's true, but I need you. Great faith gets rewarded. This woman gets two rewards in one verse. Jesus answered and said to her, verse 28, oh woman, great is your faith. He only said that twice in the whole Bible, to her and to a centurion, both of them non-Jews. Great is your faith. Get the approval, the applause of Jesus. Does that matter to you more than anything else? To see him smile? Say, well, what are people going to think about me? You're looking for the wrong thing. She didn't care. They said, he said she was a dog. Yeah, but you know what? My daughter's well. I don't care what you call me. My daughter's well. But more than that, she gets the approval of Jesus. And I promise you, folks, that matters. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. God gave her the answer to her request. She got the answer she came for. She walked away with a daughter who was well when the people of Jesus' hometown didn't, because they believed they deserved something, and she knew she didn't. She was desperate. So let me ask you this. Do you have enough faith to get the attention of Jesus? Are you desperate enough? Are you too good? Too moral? Too righteous? Looking down your nose at other church people? Can I just tell you this? If you're comparing yourself to other church people, you can find somebody worse than you. You're looking at one of them. But you're not going to be compared to me. When you stand before the great King of all the earth, you're going to be compared to him. And he is flawless. He is without spot. He will show you who you really are. He brings this woman to the place where she recognizes she needs him. Not just the healing, but him. Do you need him today? Do you need Jesus today? Say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Then you can't get to him today. Well, I'm as good as anybody else in this church. Then you can't get to him today. Well, I prayed a prayer when I was 7. You can't get to him today. You can't. Because Jesus is just looking for people who are desperate for Jesus. Would you bow with me for prayer? Eternity hangs on what you do with Jesus. One day you will stand before the God of all the earth. And on that day, the God of all the earth will evaluate every deed of your life, and nothing will be hidden. But if you come to Christ, your sin will be forgiven and covered. You will be accepted. But you must need Jesus. And today I invite you to come to Jesus, to come to him, to confess Him as Lord, to bow the knee to Him, to trust Him. Father, I pray that You would awaken in each of us a sense of deep desperation, that we would not rely upon formulas or entitlement or Your pity, but instead we would cry out to You. We would come to Jesus. We would worship at Your feet and just cry out for Your help. And You would show Yourself mighty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.